Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother.
Social geek.
Social Geek Radio fans, this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston, and I swear when Blog Talk Radio adds the video, you're going to actually see the Social Geek Radio dance that I do. So joining me live, which is really scary to think about, isn't it, Jack Munson?
Remind me never to download that. That'll be exciting.
When we go live and it's video and audio, just imagine what we can do with Social Geek Radio. I mean, really, think in the future here. I'm going to ask Blog Talk Radio to make us the first live video audio podcast.
Justin,
we'll test
Bieber,
it out.
Eat your heart out. We'll blow them away. So good evening, Social Geek Radio. This is Jack Munson from Engage 1-to-1. And it's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock in the east, it's 5 o'clock in the west, and it's Social Geek Radio. Deb and I have a few things to catch up on as far as the great world of franchising, marketing, technology, and not the least of which is, how is Blog Talk Radio performing these days? It's a little interesting on the back end of this old radio transmitter, isn't it?
It is, and 4 years into Blog Talk Radio, I've seen many, many changes. Sometimes, I will be quite honest, sometimes they're very responsive when I have a question and say, you know, what's going on? And tonight is going to be one of those nights that we're not quite sure what's happening here. We our dashboard is a little different. It was a little difficult getting on. We're not sure where our guest is. He could be floating out there in cyberspace somewhere. But Jack and Deb are here, and we're going to make a 30-minute live franchising and social media show out of this. But, Jack, would they know that I'm in Houston today, and you are where? Where are you broadcasting from?
I am broadcasting live from the Mandalay Bay Casino and Resort in beautiful, sunny Las Vegas, and it is currently about 155 degrees outside.
Yeah, Mandalay Bay is gorgeous, but don't step outside.
Yeah, it's not a good day to go outside. It's a good day to attend a franchising conference, which, what a coincidence, that's what I'm here for. So, but in all seriousness, I want to say hello and thanks to all of the folks at Play It Against Sports. I've been part of their franchisee conference, their annual franchisee conference here in Vegas this week. Great turnout of all of the franchise system franchisee conferences I've ever been to. I think this is the largest percentage of franchisees to ever attend. It's just a really engaging group, very active, just so much going on, and you know, I know you have this frequently with your franchisees, Deb, and some of the other groups you work with, but it's really cool just to spend a couple of days with people who are really passionate about their small business. And,
absolutely.
And with these guys, they're passionate about owning their own business. They're passionate about being entrepreneurs, and they're also really passionate about sports. You know, so it's been a great conference. We've spoken a lot about everything from franchising and social media and growing local businesses to, you know, Derek Jeter's last All-Star game, which was last night, and most of the conference was standing by watching this happen live here. So it's really been a terrific couple of days, and met a lot of new franchisees. It's always great to see those folks as well, and the folks from Winmark and Play It Against Sports really know how to how to put together a great event that that the franchisees find a lot of value in. So
that's great.
That's what I've been doing this week.
Very good. So now, are they using a event hashtag that you know of? If we were to poke around out there on social media and see what folks have been saying about the event, do you know?
Yeah, you know, I think they use several, but if you want to say hi to any of these folks, they speak a lot in social using hashtags, not only played against sports, but also their big one that they use now is everybody plays, which I think it's a terrific slogan and tagline, and it's part of their messaging, and it's part of course their advertising and things like that. But it really does define this group of people very well. You know, they're very passionate about everybody plays, and you know, it's all types of sports and people playing sports and equipment and gear and different sports. And I really like that everybody plays line and hashtag. So yeah, say hi to the folks out there with hashtag everybody plays.
We will do that. I'm going to do a search when we're done. And I just did it and I'm seeing it come up. So very cool. I like that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing, Deb, about being in Las Vegas for this conference. It's, you know, we're only a few months away from the IFA annual convention, and it's really really starting to hit me that wow, we need to make some plans about, you know, what we're going to do, what we're going to talk about, who we're going to see, you know, all of that kind of thing, because it really is a few months away, right down the street. I believe it'll be at the MGM Grand
MGM.
Again this coming year, which is possibly the largest building on the face of the earth. I'm just being in Vegas and you know, talking to so many franchisees this week, it's really hit me that wow, we're not too far away from convention. So
we are not. I'm going to register the hashtag IFA 2015, and of course we use franchising as well. And franchising is already registered under Tag Board. I registered that some time ago, so I'll register IFA 2015. But you know, just before, so that's in February. In September, you and I will be in Washington, D.C. for the Public Affairs Conference, and we have committee meetings, so you and I both are on several committees that will have some committee meetings, but, you know, you and Deb cannot be at the same city at the same time without a tweet-up. That's what you do. That's what we're all about.
I'll tell you the tweet ups at last year's Public Affairs Show and mm-hmm. at of course convention for the past few years, but mm-hmm. Frankly, I spoke with more new people, people I hadn't ever had any sort of contact with at the tweet up than really any time throughout the show. The exhibit space was pretty hectic last year, it seemed like. And, some of the sessions were spread out across, you know, kind of a big geographic footprint. So having everybody kind of gather before the thing started and, you know, being able to make some introductions to some other people, that really seemed to be a good way to kick off the event. So I'm sure we'll do that in public affairs and convention as well.
Right.
So,
and, you know, our topic tonight is building a franchise business with social media. And, of course, we're talking about building convention events and how to use social media for building the business. So, you know, you and I both work with a lot of franchise brands. And I'm finding that some of the brands that I'm working with now are really catching on to the whole video scene and how to use video to build their business and social media. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's I really see it as two different types of video that people are using. One is, you know, sharing some fun, interesting, curated content that could be a video. And in many cases it is, you know, it's the cool snowboard stunt or, you know, something else that, you're sharing, and everyone in your system is sharing, and it's just a great way to give your fans and customers something interesting and of value. So that's sort of the first place that I put video. But then the second area is, and I think this is what you're really focused on, is creating your own videos, whether it's, you know, just a very simple YouTube video or maybe even a Vine video or something more, you know, more lengthy that really has a call to action. And mm-hmm. I think the only place that I see people doing something wrong in these videos is not having a call to action if it's a video that they're creating. You know, that seems to be sort of the missing piece in these videos. It's like, yeah, you know, this was fun, it was interesting, and maybe it gets shared, but what's next? You know, you've got to have some sort of reason to engage after that 2-minute video is over. You know, is there something in there that you want them to come into the local store, or you want them to go to the franchisee's Facebook page or website or sign up for something or whatever the call to action might be? So that's sort of the one thing that I do see kind of glaring out there that I'm a little worried when I don't see a lot of, you know, what's next in some of these things. And what are you seeing as far as trends of these videos, what people are doing right or wrong?
I think you're right. I think, you know, they're doing a good job of using whatever means of, you know, their smartphones and things like that, which we've said and we saw at Google how they said, you know, it doesn't have to be professional. It doesn't have to be super short. It's just got to be informative, but it must have that call to action. I believe while we're on this topic, our guest has been able to join us. So, Jared, are you with us tonight?
I am here. Thank you.
You very good. So, thanks for joining us. And we're Jack and I are currently talking about you know, how to build that business in franchising using social media. And as you heard, we're talking about videos and the use of videos. So, before we get any deeper, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about HomeTask and what you guys do, and then, you know, how do you use social media to build the business?
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you. So my name is Jared Sessler. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called HomeTask, and we're a multi-brand service-based franchisor. So we offer currently we have 5 different brands that we offer franchise locations for. So a couple of the more well-known brands are Pet Butler and Yellow Van Handyman, another concept that we started a couple of years ago called Lawn Army, which is a landscape maintenance, and then some newer brands, Fredgie's, and then also Data Doctors as part of our brand family as well. So about 200 locations and pretty extensive use of technology. When I first joined the franchise space, a little over 10 years ago, we were really the front runners, very small back then with just a handful of locations, but using technology in ways that no franchisors really had done at that time. And so, of course, that has continued with the years as we've grown, and also continue to use social media as it's grown and that sort of thing. So we use social media a lot, both internally at our headquarters to drive traffic to the brands for the purpose of either attracting new franchise owners or developing leads for new business for each of our locations. And we also teach, train, and lead our locations to to use social media to be able to build their business.
Cool. So how's video used? I know on your corporate homepage there's a great introduction video from you walking us through, you know, the first-time person that's come to the web page about, you know, the history and how you got started, and I'd like that walkthrough. But how are the other brands that you work with using video and other means of social media?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think video we've learned about sort of anecdotally, and I'll just give you an example of something that happened to us internally. A few years ago, we stopped doing written newsletters because we found out that no one was reading them, and they took a long time to prepare, and they were something that you had to make look pretty, and you had to sort of entice people to read a few paragraphs, and we realized at some point, I shot this really rough video where I just basically grabbed a legal notepad, wrote down a few points, and shot this video, sent it out to our franchise partners, and it was like we had this ridiculous response like we had never seen before. Most of them watched it. Almost all of them got the information, and many of them asked questions about it or provided feedback or something, and we were just blown away. We're like, this had never happened with a newsletter before. And we quickly realized, and through the years I've kind of become known internally as, you know, I always get in front of the camera with my legal pad. I've got my list of topics. It's funny, too, because I guess this last year I stopped using my legal pad because we actually use a shared Google Doc internally at our headquarters to compile all the items for discussion, and then somebody prints off a copy of that, and I just use that. But I used to, for years, I just used the legal notepad, and I had like a list of 8 or 10 or 15 items that I was going to talk about, and it was one take, and there was no, if I messed up or sneezed or, you know, there was a noise or whatever, it was too bad. It didn't matter, because the whole point was we needed to have this discussion, and I need to get some information, and I need to demonstrate my passion to our team, and the best way to do it was to do it over video.
Isn't it amazing how we've gone from, you know, even 10 years ago, CEO of any company would spend hours and hours, you know, redoing a video to get it exactly right, and you know, the money that would be spent on these things compared to now, where I think, Jared, your audience is expecting it to be genuine and real and informative, and not look like a, you know, a cable newscast or something like that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And even more so, they get to know who I am. Because, I mean, if you think 10 years ago or more, who were the CEOs? They were these people that signed documents or signed a letter that you always wondered, is that actually printed or stamped? Did he actually sign it? And you never actually saw him. And it was just this figurehead, like locked in a office by themselves with an assistant, and that was well guarded, or something, you know. And so I think it also, along with the idea of sort of this exponential, framework that digital social media has added to our culture, we now get to know each other better, you know. And a good example, probably one of the best examples of that, is Twitter, right? You get to hear straight from this person that you have a passion to follow, and you get to kind of know them. Like we might, you know, you might fall in love with a certain actor or an actress, then you start following them on Twitter, and you might like them less, or you might like them more. Oh, well, that's the person that I maybe I'm attracted to that person for one reason or another, but now I'm following them on Twitter and I think I'm not so attracted anymore. So anyway.
I think the same thing can happen with a brand, right? I'm not so in love with that brand anymore. So
for sure. Yeah, exactly. And so I guess to answer your question, Deb, the whole point of that story was to explain like one of our first go-tos now for when we're looking at trying to communicate with the public is video. And you know, another, and we take that, you know, one of my story was really an internal one, but that's how we got started. But you could take that out to the public, and you really look, and we're actually in a period of post-literacy. If you look at the literacy rates over the last, you know, several hundred years, they were climbing up until about 20 years ago, and they flattened out, and now they're well in decline. Well, why is that? Why is our literacy rate going down when our access and resources and everything else seems to be going up worldwide? Well, the reason is because people don't need to read and write anymore. They can get through life just fine and actually be very successful without ever reading and writing. And so there isn't the demand on the young people nor is there as much pressure from adults and parents to force this habit. And that, now that sounds like crazy to say that in a Western culture, modernized culture, but it's the truth. And you can look at the data, and it shows it. And the reason is because people can learn everything they need to know by watching a video.
Well, and I was talking to one of my franchise partners the other day, and I said, you know, they were surprised. They didn't realize that YouTube was the second largest search engine. And I said, you know, anymore when I'm searching something, I tend to go to YouTube before I go to Google. I just have a brand new computer. I'm trying to learn Windows 8. I'm trying to, you know, do different things. And of course, there's some things that I'm going to find that I need video for, but I just go to YouTube. It's like, you know, and I do my search there. And I'm trying to tell my franchise partners, think about your brand. Think about how you're trying to describe your brand, you know, and can you put it into a video content so that it's, you know, searchable and people can understand it and they can feel it and they can see the people behind the brand and, you know, get familiar with that culture. And I just still think video is underutilized within a lot of franchise brands.
Yeah, it is for sure. Definitely underutilized.
I don't know the statistics on this, but I would guess if you studied just the search terms that begin with how do I or how can I, I'm guessing YouTube might be the number one search engine for anything.
Oh, yeah.
That people are doing there, because it seems like anybody who's not doing some sort of how-to video is really sort of missing a boat right now, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I whenever there's a how-to question, I always go to YouTube first, and I'm always a little bit apprehensive because I'm like, oh, I bet somebody hasn't done this yet, and I'm rarely disappointed. There's almost always at least one that somebody's done. You know, of something, and it's just really cool. The whole thing is really cool.
Very good. This is Social Geek Radio with Deb Evans and Jack Munson. Tonight we're speaking with Jared Sessler, CEO of HomeTask. Let's talk a little bit about other social media engagement and activities outside of YouTube. What kinds of content are you finding success with? From a corporate level and also from a franchisee level, you know, on Facebook and other channels at this time?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of people, especially business owners, even franchise owners, who feel like their business, their location, their brand is not worthy of being on social media, or they don't understand. Like for example, you know, Pet Butler is one of our brands. It's a pet waste cleanup service. So we go to people's yards and we pick up their dog poop. Like, what are we going to talk about in that? Well, we had a good day today. We went to 27 yards and we scooped dog poop, you know. But the thing is that, you know, there's always ways, no matter what your service is or what your destination or retail or whatever, there's ways to engage with people that are interested in that. And the obvious one for Pet Butler, which is such a great example, is pet lovers, right? People love pets. And so there's tons of different ways that you can engage with them. And we don't even have to create very much content for that particular brand because there's so much great stuff out there. We just have to find it and share it and express our interest in it. I think the big thing, though, is that people don't rightly understand what social media really is. And I think that's the evidence of that is when somebody says, oh, it's a waste of time for me to have, you know, a Facebook page or a Google Plus page or something for my business. And I tend to break it down like this. Like, I don't think I think there's generally like three spheres of influence, you could say, or three circles that revolve around social media. And the first one is the people that are closest to you. So it's the smallest circle. It's the closest one to you. It's the people that are right around you, the ones you touch and talk to every single day. It's your family and maybe your coworkers, those people that are very close to you. And the next one, the next layer out is the people that you're sort of doing life with currently. So the ones that you run into at church or maybe they're in a community organization that you also serve on, or maybe it's people at work that you don't interact with on a daily basis, but you work in the same company or whatever. And then the third space is everyone that you've ever met in the world. You know, everybody back from your friends in high school to the people you used to date to people you met, whatever, to, you know, like in my case, I've written some books, and so there's people that like to, you know, want to friend me on there to ask questions about different things, and, you know, franchisees that I, you know, live across the country and don't necessarily interact with them directly, but there's still this venue where we can interact. And so I think when you look at social media, I guess you first have to look at what was social like before we had digital social. And social was very singular. It was basically wherever you were at the moment. And that could be on the phone talking with someone across the country, or it could be interacting at a dinner, or it could be at work, or it could be, you know, wherever, right? It was very one-dimensional. But then when you start to add digital to it, it's not that you can be in multiple places, or I'd say it's not just that you can be in multiple places at one time virtually. It's that you can now actually see into and share different aspects of your life that you wouldn't ever have actually initiated a conversation about in person. And so not only have you gone wider with the sphere of influence, but you've also gone deeper with the different categories of discussion. So somebody gets to learn something about you that they never would have known. And so I think when you start to look at the width of that and the depth of that, is the path to getting to the answer of why it makes so much sense for every location everywhere to be building a following of like-minded people who are interested in the same kinds of things. And the easiest way to do that is through social media, because the truth is that social media doesn't do a lot for the relationships of the people that we're very close to every day. You know, I don't get surprised about something that my wife posts. That would be weird. That would be like a second life spouse or something. You know, I mean, that would just be so. And then, and even the second layer of the people that you sort of do life with on a regular basis, and the ones you interact with at work here and there, whatever. You know, it's not super helpful. Maybe a little bit, but not much. Where it's really helpful is for that third sphere of hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people that I don't interact with and literally would probably never even remember, maybe, for the rest of my life, people that I've met or whatever. And potentially some people that I have very special relationships with, like people that I went to high school with and spent several years with, or college, or in the military, you know, people that I was out at sea on an aircraft carrier with for months at a time that I could never forget, no matter how much I tried. So now I get to interact with them and kind of see, you know, what their life is like. So I guess that's a long answer, but I imagine it will spur hopefully some more banter about sort of that realm and why I think it's so important for us to use it as small business owners.
Yeah. And that third level of everybody, even if it's someone that you're not interacting with frequently or is really involved in your life, those can still be very influential people. And I think that's, you know, if I may, I think that's where you're getting to with what a small business or a brand can do is, you know, someone in that sphere shares something, you know, even if it isn't something, someone real close to you, it still could be someone very influential in your thinking and, you know, and whether or not you have a good opinion of some brand or company.
I hate to tell you this, gentlemen, but the Blog Talk Radio operators tell me we are coming down to the last few 30 seconds left. So, Jared, would you share your information, contact information, whether it's Twitter handle, so that folks can reach you and we can continue this discussion offline?
Yeah, for sure. So you can just Google my name, Jared Sessler, or my Twitter is @Sessler. Happy to answer questions or engage or anything.
Very good. And the website for your franchise so that they can take a look at that?
Hometask.com, HometaskK.com. And you can find out more about all of our brands and all of our locations there.
Very
excellent.
Good.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jared.
Thank you. I know we could continue this for hours, but we are down to 5 seconds. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will catch you next week with some special announcements. So have a good night, and I'll talk to you gentlemen later.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.